Good evening. Good to be with you this evening. Appreciate the opportunity to bring another lesson from God's Word. We'll be looking tonight at Hebrews, the second chapter, first four verses. The writer of the Hebrew letter was concerned about his fellow men, which were Jews, who had become Christians. He was concerned about their well-being. He is concerned about them drifting back into Judaism. He deals with this problem in two ways, by emphasizing the superiority of Christ and the New Covenant, and secondly, by a series of exhortations for them to remain steadfast. If you look in the first chapter of the Hebrew letter, in the first three verses, the writer there, he speaks there about the superiority of Christ to the prophets. And then from 4 to 14, he speaks about the superiority of Christ to the angels. But here in the second chapter, in the first four verses, we find the first of several exhortations throughout Hebrews to the Jews there. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness with both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Here we find a warning about the danger of drifting. We're liking this tonight maybe to a canoe ride down a slow, peaceful river. And just a slow, subtle current. The real danger in drifting is that it's possible for us to drift away from our salvation. We can certainly neglect the salvation, as it was pointed out in verse 3. How shall we, if we neglect so great a salvation? Of course, he was writing there to the Hebrews, or the Jews. But we can also apply it to us today. How should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the escape there is the death of hell. Look in chapter 3 of the Hebrew letter, verses 12 through 14, and we'll find here how it is possible that we can depart from God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we can see how we can fall away, depart from God. In chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we find here how it is possible for us to fall away from God. For it is possible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. crucify to themselves the Son of God of flesh, afresh, and put them to an open shame. And in chapter 10 of the Hebrew letter, we find where it is, we can reach a point where the sacrifice of Christ is no longer an effect to us or available for our sins. 10 and 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin. That means that Christ is the last sacrifice God's going to give us for our sins. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. The danger of drifting away is very real. It is possible for a child of God to sin and to be lost. Otherwise, such exhortations would not have been given by the writer of the Hebrew letter. When God spoke through angels, His word was proved steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, as we read in verse 2 of our text. How much more then when He speaks through His Son, will not His word prove just and steadfast? Will not every unrepented transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense reward? Today we neglect the word of God spoken by His Son. The New Testament is the word of Christ. They may be penned by Paul, Peter, but they are the words of Christ. And if we neglect these words, if we neglect these commandments, we will receive our just recompense reward. The word spoken by the Son was confirmed by His apostles in verse 3, the latter part, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. And I believe that Paul was probably the writer of the Hebrew letter. And when he says us, or them, he's talking about he and the apostles. These were men who were eyewitnesses and endured much to serve with Him while Christ walked here on earth. The word spoken by His Son was confirmed even more in verse 4. It said that God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. These were confirmed by God Himself through the signs, through the wonders, the miracles, by the Holy Ghost, and the gifts. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as what God has given to us? You know, for years upon this earth, man had to go out and cut out a lamb out of the herd. They had to gather up wood. They had to build an altar. They had to build a fire. They had to sacrifice the animal. They had to do physical work to prove themselves. Of course, we have physical things that we have to do to prove ourselves. But when God sacrificed His Son upon the cross, He gave us the greatest sacrifice of all. He gave up everything that He had for us on that cross. And if we let that get away from us, we've neglected that great salvation that God is offering to us in this day and time. And this is the only sacrifice He's going to make for us until the end of time. So let's now look at what we'll lose if we drift away. As we said, we'll lose this so great a salvation. This salvation is so great because it offers such things as the forgiveness of sins. You know, in the Old Testament, your sin was just rolled forward another year. It offers transformation of character by providing power over sin. You know, and Paul wrote in a Roman letter in chapter 12, "Be ye not conformed to this present world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." Renewing your minds is set in the gospel. Don't be like the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Transformed into what God provides to us through His written word, so that we can inherit this greatest salvation. It also gives us assurance of God's fatherly presence. It can give us a clear and peaceful conscience and a glorious hope for all eternity. And we don't want to lose this by neglect. The curse of time, going back to this thought of riding in a canoe down a quiet, peaceful river. The currents that move us back and forth on down the line. Right now they're peaceful, subtle, slow moving. We're just drifting along. Let's look here at the current of time, in which some grow weary of doing good. You look throughout the building tonight. I started attending nightly services here in the latter part of 85, early 86. You pretty much had to get here early to make sure you got a seat on Sunday night. But tonight you can just about pick wherever you want to. Now true enough, there's been those who have passed on. But there's a lot of people who could be here tonight if they wanted to be here tonight. As time passes by, we can gradually lose some of our devotion. Another one, the current of familiarity. We're familiar with the truth. Sometimes it may become commonplace. Take it for granted. You may liken this to the Ephesians when John wrote the Revelation letter, when he was talking about the church at Ephesus there in Revelations 2 and 4. They have lost their first love. What about the current of society? With all the secular humanism, false religions, even plastic Christianity offered as truth in today's world. For some, it's hard to maintain the course. They get lost in what's around about them instead of getting caught up in what's written in between these pages. They want to make up their own rules. They want to write out their own creeds. Some that were actually here a few years ago maybe even be worshiping somewhere else, where they make up their own rules and write out their own creeds. They got caught up in society, a false religion. Such things can move us far away from the simplicity and wisdom of our Lord. It's not hard. But if you read some of the creed books and so forth of some of these other religions, they make it pretty complex. But from what I've always read from the Word of God, to inherit this great salvation that He offers to us, there's nothing hard about it. The simplest minded person can easily understand it. What about the current of daily concerns? Constant pressure on daily cares, anxiety, our duties that can distract us from God's Word. Jesus warned against this on several occasions. Any and all of these things can slowly move us away from the Lord and His great salvation if we're not careful. It don't happen overnight. It happens gradually through time. And the next thing you know, you're drifting farther and farther away. Let's look at the key to prevent this drifting away. The writer of Hebrew letter starts out with in chapter 2, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Giving the more earnest heed. As we ride down this peaceful river, we've got to give attention to the things that are ahead of us. Failure to pay constant attention may lead us into trouble. I don't know how many here tonight who has ever taken a canoe ride down a creek or a river. It's enjoyable. You get into some places, it's just nice, gentle flow. You can round a bend and hit rapids. If you're not paying attention when you get to these rapids, if you're not in position to use your paddle to steer that canoe, it's not going to be long, you're going to be bottom up. You're going to be out of the canoe. Even if you're giving that constant attention on this ride, you can still be thrown out. But you're alert when you are. Such as running into brush, crashing into rocks, even going over a fall. Only by giving them more earnest heed can these things be avoided. So is it with our salvation. We must be diligent to the task at hand. Look at 2 Peter, the first chapter. Beginning with verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue and the virtue knowledge. And the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. whether the rather brethren, wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make their calling and election, sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. We've got to pay constant attention. We've got to add to these, to our faith, these Christian graces. There's no place for half-heartedness in being a Christian and working toward that home in heaven. We must give a more earnest heed. We must be more earnest than those who heard the word of God through the angels, such as the Israelites. Because we have the word through His Son. We must give such heed to the things that we've heard. The things we heard is in reference to the word of God spoken through the Son, the great salvation, the gospel of Christ and all of its aspects. How can we do this? The Bereans provide a good example. If you're not familiar with them, they're mentioned in Acts, the 17th chapter, 11th verse. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they come thither also and stirred up the people. So they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. This was the example that the Bereans gave to us. They paid earnest attention to whatsoever God's word proclaimed. Earnest study of God's word on our own. This is the way that we can avoid falling away. An earnest study of God's word in the assemblies. We can ask ourselves a question at the close here. Are we giving the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard? Another year has passed. How did we do? Another year has already started. How will we do? This is the thoughts I had for tonight. We've all learned something from it, that we can slip if we're not giving the most earnest heed. We can become complacent. I have known with people, I have seen a few people in congregations around about us in the past who were actually in the assemblies when the doors were open. And it was just like you flipped the switch and they were gone. You know, the assemblies are very important, but it's what we do the other hours of the week. You think maybe 3 hours a week we're actually in the assemblies. That's the rest of the time. What are we doing? Of course, we all have jobs. We all have duties. But it depends on how much we get wrapped up in the cares of this world that determines if we're going to drift away from God's word. Blessings yours if you never obeyed the gospel. God offers us this great salvation by hearing His word, believing in His word, believing in His Son. We can come forward repenting of our sins making confession that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins, the washing away of our sins, and to arise and walk a new life. It's likened to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ had to die. We can die for our old sins. There'll be no more. He was buried in the borrowed tomb, and on the third day he arose. We're buried in the water. It's symbolic, but yet it's God's word. And then we rise up. Christ arose to ascend back into heaven. We arise to walk a new life. And as we walk in this new life, being that we are humans, he realizes that we can stumble, and he gives us opportunity to come back. In James 5 and 6, says, confessing your faults one to another, praying one for another, for the effectual servant, forever righteous man availeth much. But notice there, it's an effort on our part. He's there for us. His hand is always stretched out. When we receive the forgiveness of sin is when we realize in our own mind and we reach forth to him. He's always there ready for us. Anyone here tonight desiring to show some church when come and let the wishes be known, we'll stand and sing.